asked me to preach on Romans chapter 8. He also asked me to try not to talk for too long. I feel like he should have to make up his mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the tremendous blessing that we can so easily overlook, that we come to you and call you Father. Bless us now, those who have gathered in your presence to worship you. Bless those of us who wanted to be here but couldn't. And bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Adoption makes all the difference. But to really understand that, we have to look at what is, to me, probably the scariest word in the entire Bible. If. Let's look at our passage from Romans, beginning in verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's kind of a grim way to start a passage. Then it goes on. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. I don't know about you, but I hear that, and I immediately start to wonder, like, does the Spirit of God dwell in me? I know that, for example, when we read our parable from the gospel, there is not a single parable that Jesus says that I did not find myself to be the villain in. He talks about all of these seeds that were sown. You have the seeds sown on the path, eaten by birds, seeds sown in where there's no soil, they get scorched, they wither. You'd stop there and be like, excellent. I don't think I'm one of those. I feel like I'm okay. And he's like, well, what are these other seeds? And they're planted among weeds, and the weeds choke them. And then he explains, this is people who get distracted by the cares of the world, by the lure of money, which is just in general other false idols instead of God. And I'm like, okay, now I feel seen. Half the time I think that's me. This if is starting to get really scary. There's this old song by a band, Radiohead, which I know that you all, you're like diehard Radiohead fans. I can tell from the look on your face. The song is called Creep. I'm going to edit slightly. But the chorus goes, I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the heck am I doing here? I don't belong here. So reading our gospel passage, get that if. And I think, what am I doing here? And I'm a deacon. I have a fancy collar. I was called to serve in the church. and to proclaim the gospel. And I am grumpy and frequently lazy. I yell at my kids far more than I ought to. My son is really enthusiastic about that part. I think there are so many times I'm like, you know, God, if you just gave me money, I would have to trust you less, and I would be okay with that. What am I doing here? And so I read this, and it's terrifying. Because those who are in the flesh can't please God. And if you're in the Spirit, you can please God. If the Spirit dwells in you, and I read that if, it's terrifying. Adoption makes all the difference. Paul says, we weren't given the spirit of bondage to fall back into fear. That word that he uses for bondage, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek. I kind of want to. It's a goofy sounding word. But it's a Greek word that just basically just means slavery. Bondage, slavery. It could also mean service. It's from the same root that we get, that every time it's translated serve, it's the same root. So just a chapter before this, Paul says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? When Paul is talking about wanting to serve the law, but instead serving sin, he's using the same root that Paul later talks about in terms of service, slavery, our bondage back into fear. Because if our relationship to God is based upon law, it's a nice series of check boxes. Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? And so we have to ask ourselves, have I done all of those things? And we have to answer, if we're honest, no. I have not. Under the law, we have to constantly be afraid of not getting one of those checkboxes checked. But adoption makes all the difference. I'm going to tell the story while my son's gone. My son is a spectacular baseball player. We live in Jessamine County. He's on the Jessamine County 9U, that's 9-year-olds and under, all-star team. So he is one of the best players in the county. He is, I am entirely confident, one of the best players on his team. And now I have a friend, his name's Travis, his son Garrett. Travis is absolutely confident that his son, Garrett, is one of the best players on the team. I have another friend, Philip. His son, Caleb, is one of the best players on the team. In fact, if you talk to any of the dads, they are going to tell you that they know that their son is one of the best players on the team. They're going to try to be humble, like I'm trying to be humble. He's not the best player. He's definitely better than at least half of them. All of the dads are going to say this. The math does not work out. But this is the thing. If I'm watching some other baseball player play, I'm watching the ball, I'm watching his glove, I'm watching his feet, and I'm saying, he played that right. He didn't play that right. But when I watch Josiah play, I notice those things. But I also see, this is the situation that he's in. Think of how much he's grown. Look at his potential. How's he feeling right now? And whether or not he makes a catch or doesn't make a catch, he's tiny compared to everything else that I see because he's my son. And if I, who am sinful, know this much of love, how much better is our Heavenly Father's love for us? Because we have been adopted. The wonderful thing about adoption is that adoption does not depend upon the child. Adoption depends upon the character of the parent. God has adopted us, knowing who we are, knowing what we've done, knowing that we fail. He has adopted us so that he can bring the full breadth of his love to bear on us. And that makes all the difference. If we're in bondage to the law, we don't check a checkbox. We failed. We didn't satisfy the law. But if we're children, we come to our Father and he says, let me help. Let me help you grow. Let me help you with this problem you're facing. Because whether you succeed, whether you fail, the truth is, you're my child. That's what matters. Not the checkboxes. The relationship. Adoption makes all the difference. Now, this doesn't make the struggle go away. Because I love my kids, but I still want them to be good kids, faithful kids, obedient kids. So there are still things that I ask them to do. Which Paul even says, provided that we suffer with Jesus. There are still things that children have to do, but their relationship is entirely different. Because if they struggle, I'm not an adversary. Sometimes they probably think that I feel like an adversary because I'm not perfect, but God is. When we struggle, he's there to help us because he loves us as a parent. adoption makes all the difference. And it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Him. My clock was turning off, sorry. I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm trying. But this can be a hard thing to accept. It's the same as when I say, God, I'd really like it if you give me money. Because then it's really, I can put my hands on money. I can do math around money. I can say, ha, I have money. Buy groceries. Ta-da. I can do math about God, but it's all made up. It's really easy for us to be tempted into a law relationship because then we can say, aha, I've done my part. That means God has to save me. And because so many of the rest of our relationships function that way. We go to work and our boss is not our mother or father. They just want us to do our job. And if we don't do our job, they may be nice about it, but they will say, we're going to let you go and find somebody who can do your job. And so we have both the temptation to fall back into that relationship with God because it makes good sense to us. And because that's our experience in so many other things. And it can be hard to live in the reality of adoption. That this is a gift God wants to give to us. That we can then rely on, even when we fail. That we can go running to Him and say, Father, and know that He's going to receive us with love. And I think this right now is one of the tremendous gifts that God has given us to help us grow in learning to accept the relationship that He wants to have with us, where He can bring the full width and breadth and depth and other dimensional words of His parent love towards us. And what I'm talking about is the liturgy of our worship. It can seem really bland. It can be frustrating. It can be boring. It can be inscrutable. But God, in His wisdom, has guided the church to give us all sorts of really helpful tips in it. My favorite two are these. When we confess our sins to Almighty God. Father Ben does not say, all right, now any of you stragglers out there who still struggle with sin, you confess your sins while the rest of us wait patiently. We all confess because we all struggle with sin. And there's a graciousness in that expectation. That God understands our weakness and our frailty, but still invites us into His presence. And my next favorite part, I'm struck by it every week. After the Eucharist, we all pray, Heavenly Father, we thank You for feeding us spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for reminding us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of his body and heirs of your eternal. Think about that relationship. All we do is come up and receive what he offers. We come up, put our hands out, and we receive. And in that, he reminds us, he sees us the way he sees his Son. We're adopted into his Son. We receive. He gets to love us. So if, like me, you read passages like our Romans passage today, and you get hung up on that word, if, you feel the fear clawing at you, accusing you, trying to condemn you, like Father Ben talked about last week. Remember, adoption makes all the difference. Because as his adopted sons and daughters, he loves us with the depth and faithfulness, the everlasting character of the best